a series called It's Not About Me. Now, Pastor was supposed to start this message last week, but when the Spirit moves, we're just going to let the Spirit move. So this morning, I get to kind of kick the series off. And so this morning we were talking about, it's not about me in conversation. Now, one thing I want us to understand really fast is when we're talking about our conversations, this is going to not be easy. Because I have to try to keep the message not about me either. Right? So I have to open up the Word and see what the Word says. So would you open up your Bibles with me this morning? I hope nobody's new because you just scared them. If you're new here, we like to be excited about the Word. Amen? First week I heard them yell, I was like, what was that? I found out quickly that we get excited about the Word. So this morning we're going to be reading out of several passages, but the main scripture today is going to be out of Psalms 19, verse 14. And it says this, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." God, I just thank you for this moment. And I pray, God, for the next several moments that while we're here, that the words that are spoken from my mouth are not about me. They're not from me, but they're from you. God, that we would have open hearts, that we would see what it is that you desire for us to hear this morning. We thank you and we praise you. In your name we pray. Amen. We talk about our own conversations. Thinking about our conversations, most of the time we realize that we talk about us a lot. We're always talking about our agenda. What are we doing after church? What are we doing this week? What is our plans? But when we're talking to other people, sometimes we have to stop and talk about them. And it's hard sometimes because when we hear about people and what they are doing, we start to get that, oh, great. Now here they go talking all about them. It's all about them. There was a country singer who had a song and he said, I want to talk about me sometimes. Sometimes I just want to talk about me. I'm tired of listening about you. But we have to know that it's not about us. It's not always about what we want to do. Our conversation is driven to get a point across about how we respond or what we're thinking at the moment. I have about 3 points this morning. And the first point this morning is this. Words hurt. Your words can hurt. When I was a kid, and most of you were a kid, you heard the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You know, that's one of the biggest lies I told when I was a kid. Because those words actually hurt. When you say something to somebody, you can't take it back. Once it comes out of here, you can't take it back anymore. After you say something, and if it hurts somebody's feelings, or you hurt somebody, then it's all about fixing what you just did. And too many times we say things and we say, oh, it's okay. They weren't offended by that or they weren't hurt about it until you find out on Facebook that somebody's mad at you. Or you find out that somebody's not happy with what you said when you were talking and then you got to go back and fix it. Do you know most of the time it's better just to keep quiet? Sometimes it's easier to be quiet because then I can't hurt you. I can't say something that's going to offend you. But here's the thing about words. Yes, words hurt, but words can also heal. Words can also breathe life into a situation. Proverbs 18:21 It says the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. The first part of that just says the tongue can bring death or life. You have the power in your mouth to either bring life to something or to kill it. If my son was to come to me and have a dream of something he wants to do, and I immediately shot it down and looked at him and said, "You can't do that," he will never attempt it. He'll never try. Because one person spoke negative about you. But on the other side, if I speak positive, buddy, if you want to do that, I will work my hardest to make sure that you can do it. I think you'll be great at that. You know what? He may fall flat on his face, but at least he knows that I have his support and I'm backing him up. Your words can hurt. James 3:5 says the tongue is a small thing. And in this version it says, in the same way the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. Now I was kind of thinking about what happens with a forest fire. In a forest fire, it all starts with what? A spark. And those little sparks can travel miles and miles and miles. And then it just catches up. It just catches and goes. Your tongue is like a spark. It can either spark positive or it can spark negative. It can spark blessing or it can spark cursing. But you know what the Bible also says about that? The Bible also says that blessing and cursing can't come out of the same thing. The Bible also says that spring water and salt water can't flow out of the same river. So, if we have a mouth of God and the mouthpiece of God, and that's who we are called to be, then our conversation has to be not about us, but about Him. Our conversation has to go from blessing and not cursing. We're going to get out of here. As soon as service is over, we're going to get out of here. We just had a great time of worship. We're going to leave here. We're going to get in the car, and we're going to go down Washington Street, and what's going to happen? That guy is going to cut you off. And it's going to be, right? What are you doing? You're speaking blessing in one spot and cursing in another. Instead of going, "Well, bless them, Lord." No. We have to watch what we're saying. We have to watch what words are coming out of our mouth. And sometimes we don't even think about what we're saying. We don't understand that sometimes what I'm saying can be hurtful. I was talking with Michael this week. He's been at my house. I've been driving back and forth back to his house when Mama and Papa came in, and he was all excited about them being there. And I've been going back and forth, and I said to him one day, I said, "Buddy," I said, "I can't believe you left me because of Mama and Papa coming in town." I said, "Here you're supposed to be at my house all week, and you left me for Mama and Papa." Now, I was joking, but he could have taken that hurtful. He could have taken that as, "Well, I wasn't wanting to do it, but, you know, Mama, she's just so much cuter than you, and she makes food better than you, and," right? Mama will buy me whatever I want. He come in this morning and had like 5 donuts in a bag. I wouldn't have bought him donuts for breakfast. He'd have been eating a Pop-Tart. But what I said, and the way I said it, joking, it could have hurt. It could have been offensive. You can't bless in one way and then curse as soon as you leave. It sometimes, I can't even get my tongue to talk. It sometimes takes discipline. And sometimes it takes a lot of discipline. Especially when that guy cuts you off on Washington Street. You know when the worst discipline is? When it's hardest? Is when you're by yourself. Because when you're by yourself, nobody knows what you just said. Nobody knows that you just bleep, 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 bleep in the car because that guy cut you off. But if you got people around you, you got your kids in the car, it's, oh, that was nice of him. You used a little bit of discipline because the kids were in the car. But it's harder when there's nobody around. Can I tell you that you're never alone? That God said he'll never leave you or forsake you, which means he's there in the car with you when that person cuts you off. You know, he probably made a provision for you that that car didn't clip you. So in the meantime, instead of getting mad at that guy, you should say, thank you, God, that that guy did not hit me. He could have. And if he would have, I probably would have been out hitting him. But he didn't. My wife's shaking her head. Sometimes you have to bite your tongue. You know what happens when you bite your tongue? You tame it. You tame your tongue when you bite it. You bring it under subjection when you bite it. Because guess what? It's really hard to talk when you got your tongue bit. It's hard for you to say any blessing or cursing. But it's harder to say cursing when you have your mouth quiet. The conversations that you have can hurt. And that's why your conversation's not always about you. That's why it's not about you. Because when you start talking about just you, you start thinking, this is just me. It's all about me. So it doesn't matter what I say. If I offend you, I don't care. That's about me. But when it's not about me, I think about, have I hurt them? Am I saying something that is going to affect them? Something that's going to maybe cut a little bit. The last part on this one is this. If you are filled with the Spirit and God lives inside of you, you're not speaking with your voice. You're speaking with His. And His voice has no cursing in it. His voice has no backbite in it. He only speaks blessing. He only speaks positive. So being filled with the Spirit and having His voice in you is the one way that you can always know that you're not going to cut when you're speaking. The second point of that is today is God gives us opportunities to speak. He gives us the opportunity to have somebody to speak to. But when He gives you the opportunity, you have to understand that when He gives the opportunity, it's not about you anymore. He has given you the opportunity to speak so that you can speak what He tells you to speak. It's not about my agenda when God gives me the opportunity. It's about glorifying Him and letting Him get the glory in whatever the conversation is. He will bring people to you that you can talk to. He'll bring people to you that you can speak life into. See, God will never give you an opportunity to speak negatively into somebody's life. God will never give you the opportunity to speak cursing into somebody's life. But He'll give you the opportunity to speak a blessing to someone. He'll give you the opportunity to speak a prayer over somebody's life. You see, Your relationship with God is that a relationship. You have to speak to Him. You have to allow Him to speak to you. But when He speaks to you and gives you the opportunity to speak to somebody else, that's when it becomes more about Him and them seeing Him through you than about you. Too many times we look and we say, all I want is for somebody to get what I'm saying. I just want somebody to understand me once. When God gives you the opportunity to speak, we have to take all of our decisions and all of our thoughts and all of our sayings away so that we can speak what God gives us. You see, Pastor, when he asked me to do this message, he said, I want you to speak on conversation. And my first thing was, well, God's going to have to help me. And then God looked at me and said, yeah, because it's not about you, it's about me. So if I'm up here doing it by myself, then you're just hearing me. That means it's all about Brian. Or it's all about Furman. But it's not about us. It's never was created to be about us. From beginning of creation, it was never to be about man's processes or man's decisions. Adam and Eve in the garden, it was never about them. It was always about glorifying God. Something changed in that time between now and then where we have this thought that it's always about me. It's always about what I want. Can I tell you, when my wife and I go out, and we go out to eat, 95% of the time, it's never about what I want to eat. Husbands, you understand this. It's never about what I want to do, where I want to go. I look at her and say, what do you want? Something good. Okay. Where is something good located? Give me something. Help me out. And she'll say, well, what do you want? And I look at her and I say this one thing every time. I will find something to eat wherever you choose. Just pick it. Because it's not about me at this point. I'm allowing her to choose where we go. Now, sometimes I will open up and say, I want to go to Mexican. Period. That's it. Done. But I realize that it's not about me. My job as a husband is to not worry about me. It's to take care of her. It's to take care of my children. But God, when He gives you that platform, He gives you the opportunity to speak to somebody, don't waste that opportunity talking about you. There's too many athletes and celebrities that use their stage, their platform, to get their own agenda of what they want. We have too many people who are opening their mouths and saying whatever they want to say to get self glorified. We have all these athletes now that every time they get in front of the camera, it's, well, I did this and I did that and I did this. You know what they've started doing? Even in high school, is they're starting to, that when you get a microphone in front of your face, you don't talk about you. It's about the team. Your personal agenda, your personal records, all the things that you did is nothing. If the team doesn't win, it doesn't matter. If the whole team as a whole doesn't all come together and one goal, then my personal agenda, my personal record that I want to set means nothing. And they're trying to teach them this in high school because at this point, there's a lot of athletes who will look and say, well, I did this and I did that and I did this. You know what that is? All that is pride talking. It's all about me. It's about me and my game that I play. You know what? If you play tennis, then it's all about you. Then it's about your ability to play tennis. Or if you're a golfer, it's about you. But when you get into a team, you have to use that team. A pitcher is only as good as the catcher and the defense behind him. So it's not about how fast he can throw the ball. Because if the guy's making contact every time he throws the ball, he's got to have somebody back there to get it. Or they're going to lose. It's not about them. We have to remember that our platform sometimes will take us in front of large crowds. But sometimes it's just about the little people, the smaller crowds. I like to watch sometimes on ESPN, they'll show the stories of the Make-A-Wish and how the kids will come and they'll want to have a certain wish granted by a certain athlete. And you know, those athletes do so much throughout the year. They have their games they play, and they have their all of their charities. But the one charity that they stop everything and make it not about them is Make-A-Wish. It's all about that kid. For 15 minutes of just sitting there talking to them, it's just about them. I've watched how these athletes will stop and they'll take these kids into practice and take them into the locker rooms and show them what the field looks like and open up everything, and they just act like normal people, like kids again. For letting this kid just experience what it's like for one moment to be in their shoes. They realize that it's not always about what they can do. You know, when we start to feel and realize that it's not about us, is when we see that there's people behind us that are watching us. A sports player, an athlete, there's a lot of people watching them. Some of them, it's all about them, and they never see the fan. They never see the people at home who are watching every move they make until they find out that they're in the public eye for something they've done that's not good. And then they see that all these people have turned against them. They're not fans anymore. I don't have all the support I thought I had. And then it becomes more about getting its fans back and becomes not about them anymore. God will give you opportunities. Opportunities to speak to people. When he does, don't try to make it all about you. The third point is this. It can bring blessing. When it's not about you, blessing can come. I'm going to tell you a story that happened to me on Thursday. Thursday, I went to Dollar General. Me and my wife, I dropped my kids off at school, and I got Michael off to school. Went and picked up Anna, and I said, hey, I said, Abby had breakfast with the parents. So we took Abby over to school, and Anna went to breakfast, and I picked her back up, and we went to Dollar General. And while I'm at Dollar General, Anna says, there's a big sale, a really big sale. I said, okay. So she starts grabbing the stuff off the shelf that's on sale. She starts grabbing stuff and throwing it in the cart. She's putting it in the cart. She goes, hey, I need another cart. Okay. She looks at me and she says, see this whole section right here, all of this? I said, yeah. She goes, it's all on sale. Now, I'm not talking about just a little sale. I'm talking about a pretty good size sale. Okay. So she's here. She's doing all of it. She's grabbing all this stuff off the shelf. We start looking and we're finding more and more things. We go over and we push it over to the front. Three carts. Now we're going four carts. At four carts, she finally says, that's it, I'm done. We have to stop. She goes, we're not going to have any place in the car for all of this stuff. Much less, we have already four carts. I told her, I said, well, good thing is that they have 17 more carts sitting here if you needed it. So she gets the stuff. The manager is watching what we're doing. He's just kind of laughing, chuckling. We get up to the register. A couple people go through. We don't want to make them wait on all of our stuff. Now there's nobody behind us. Nobody's ready to check out. Nobody's there. We start to check out, and he's grabbing the stuff out of the carts, and he's putting it in, and he's throwing it in bags, and we're stacking it to try to get it all right. And all of a sudden, a line starts forming. Now, I know there's four carts that this guy's got to go through. And I know if this guy's going through four carts, it's going to take a little bit of time. So I start walking around the store, and I'm just looking at all the stuff they have. And I hear my wife start talking to the lady behind her. And she's apologizing. I'm so sorry that you have to wait in this line. The lady has a small, one of those little carry baskets with like six things. The lady behind, another lady comes up and she goes, "My mom sent me out here to get toilet paper. And then I've been here for 10 minutes in this line. She is never going to believe that I stood here this whole time, that I was just sitting here this whole time waiting to be checked out." The manager was all by himself, nobody else with him. So my wife starts talking. And she starts talking, and I'm going, "Oh, please just be quiet. Seriously, just don't say anything. Let's just get the stuff and let's go. I like talking to people, but there's times I'm just like, just be quiet. The people don't know what you're doing with everything. They don't care." Well, she started sharing with this lady, and she shared with her how we were going to take the product that we had bought, and that we're youth pastors, and that we just moved into town, and that we were going to take the product that we bought, and we were going to use it for teenagers and for students. And we were going to find Miss Marilyn, and we were going to tell Miss Marilyn, "Anything of this you want, you can use. Whatever it is you want to have, you can have it. For the kids' ministry, we can use it for outside activities. We can use it for giveaways. We can make Easter baskets. We can whatever it is." So we start to talk to this lady. She's talking, and I'm just like, okay, I'm over here. I'm minding my own business. She's talking to this lady. We get up to the thing, and the guy goes, "Okay." And Anna's like, "I'm scared to see how much it's going to cost." And at one point, I hear the guy say, "Well, you're at like $90. And she goes, "Four carts, and I'm at $90? That ain't bad." So it's getting to the end, and I walk back up, and the guy goes, and she says, "Okay." And she's standing here at the register, right? She takes a step back. She goes, "I'm ready to see what it is." And he hits the button, and it pops up the total. $107.50. My wife is ecstatic. She is so happy. We got this stuff for youth ministry. We got stuff for kids ministry. We could just literally start handing it out to anybody and everybody and be great. She is beyond excited. She's like Oprah right now. She's over here saying, "You get a kite, and you get a kite, and you get a kite. Everybody gets a kite. They're all under your chairs." No, I'm just kidding. I'm not giving away cars. I'm not Oprah, okay? Sorry. So she's starting to go through this, and this lady behind her in this line now is like floored about how much money it just cost. She's like, "Oh my gosh, you got a lot of stuff." So Anna goes, she's like, "Okay." So she gets out the checkbook. She writes a check, hands it to the guy. He goes and he scans it. "I'm sorry, ma'am. The check was denied." She goes, "That doesn't make any sense." She's like, "I just wrote a check here yesterday. I know it works." She said, "How is it denied?" And he goes, "I'm not sure." She says, "Okay." She goes, "Well, we have a different account, and we have a different checkbook, and there's money in there." So she says, "Here, let me write you a different check." So she writes a different check from a different bank, hands it to him, inserts all the information, comes up, I'm sorry, ma'am. That check was denied. So now she doesn't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I'm looking at four carts full of stuff in bags that we just took off of shelves, and I'm going to have to put it all back. I'm nervous at this point. I'm like, I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know how to handle it. So I looked at him and I said, can I go get cash? Because our debit cards haven't arrived for our new account yet. So I said, can I go get cash and then come back? Can we just start the transaction? He goes, I'll have to ring everything up all over. I'll have to start all over again. And I looked at my wife and I said, I don't know what we're going to do. I said, I hate to do that. I said, but I don't know why it's not working. And the lady behind Anna, she looks at us and she says, it's because I'm supposed to take care of this. And I said, what? She goes, I want to take care of it. Me and my husband have been back here quietly talking behind you. We want to handle all of it. We want to take care of it all. And I said, are you serious? She said, yes. She goes, give it to the kids. Give it to the teenagers and give it to the children's ministry at the church. The stuff you see right here, all of this stuff from here all the way down, was all donated, this lady, to our youth and our teenagers and our kids' ministry. Now, here's the point you got to hear, though. The point is, that might have never happened if the conversation was about me. If the conversation was about Anna, it would have never happened. We'd have looked and we'd have found all this stuff and we'd have put it all back on the shelf because the check didn't go through. I've heard it said 1,000 times, you can never outgive God.
Amen, amen, amen.
The Bible says, give and it'll give back to you.
Amen.
Pressed down, shaken together, running over.
Yes,
2 weeks ago, I went to McDonald's and I bought a $2.88 meal for the guy behind me. Didn't know who he was, just felt like I was supposed to do that. God multiplied it and doubled it 10 times to give that to the church. Because I was faithful in what he had told me to do, he blessed it and multiplied it. $107.50. So we get here. I got it in the car. I call Pastor. He's all, oh, yeah, awesome. You know, he's excited. That's his favorite word. He's excited. So he's excited about it. I called Marilyn. I said, is it possible you can come to the church? I said, I got a surprise for you. She's like, what is it? I said, I'm not going to tell you what it is. Just can you come? She goes, yeah, I could be down there about noon. I said, okay. She gets here, she's opening up the door, or no, she parks across the other side. We bring her over here, she comes in the door, we closed her eyes, we opened up the door, she walks in, and immediately just starts to cry. I looked at her and I said, when you do what God tells you to do, he'll bless you. I said, there's a couple of things in this whole thing, and I had it laid out all over up here. I said, there's a couple of things in here that the youth, that we want for youth ministry. I said, but all the rest of it is for the kids. I said, do ministry the way you want to do ministry. She told me a story. She said, I talked to God the other day when he told me that I was going to do kids ministry again. And I said, God, I don't know where the stuff is going to come from. There's a small budget for kids ministry, but I don't know how I'm going to get the stuff I want. She wants to have Bible bucks where she can do these bucks that you get, and then you buy stuff out of there every quarter or whatever. I don't know how I'm going to get the stuff I need. She walks in and she sees all this stuff and just starts to get overwhelmed. She said, God told me he would take care of it. And he did. Because the conversation wasn't about her. She had left the conversation to him for him to get glory out of it. The conversation at Dollar General wasn't about what we could do. The conversation is about what we were going to do because God had given us an opportunity to do it. It wasn't ever about anything that we wanted. It was always about God bringing the blessing to people around us who maybe they would never get anything like that. So we started talking, and I told Marilyn, I said, I looked it all up. I had a sheet of paper in the office, and me and Angela looked at it earlier. Sheet of paper. If we would have taken everything right there, retail price, it's over $800 in product that we received absolutely free. Because we didn't allow it to be anything about me. Because it wasn't about us. It was about him. Making sure that people knew who he was. We said we could use it for everything. For VBS, we could set up stuff for VBS. To give to kids Christmas presents or sending it out. We've even talked to the pastor about taking some of it with us down to Louisiana. To people who really, maybe they don't have it now still. Still nice out there. Maybe we can give some to them. But our conversation is never to be about us. You see, when we start to think about talking to other people, and we start to look at what the conversation's going to be, we have to look at this and realize that when we glorify God, we can't hurt people. When we glorify God, we use the time he gives us to speak to other people. And when we glorify God, and it's not about us, he'll bless us. Because we haven't done anything to combat the blessing that he has. We haven't done anything to turn away from the fact that he's still God. But we've pushed all of everything about him and not me. Let's pray. God, thank you for this word.